B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
And welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Wednesday, May 29th, 2019, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas, 101.5 FM and 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll be previewing the month of June in new gaming releases, including what to expect out at E3. Plus, we'll ask our social media followers what announcement they're hoping to hear about at E3 this year. Those conversations are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today with an important story in the world of esports. Earlier in May, Turner Tfue Tenney launched a lawsuit against the organization that represents him, FaZe Clan. He's made some serious allegations, and it sparked a major conversation about the way esports athletes are signed to contracts. Joining me to help break down this important story is the Checkpoint XP crew, Robbie Landis.
Moving the payload.
Norris Howard.
What up, though?
And Joe Sloan.
Check a look. And guys, there is a lot to break down with this, so I'm thinking let's go through the facts of what we know, and then we'll kind of break down what that means for esports.
Sure. Okay. That's a good way to tackle it.
All right. So earlier this month, Tfue really rocked the world when he launched a lawsuit against FaZe Clan, arguing that they have him signed to an oppressive contract. Under that contract, FaZe Clan has rights to up to 80% of the profit from his sponsorship deals. Tenney himself keeps 80% of his prize winnings, but FaZe takes a 50 or 80% split on everything else. And since that contract has come out, FaZe Clan has acknowledged that Tfue quickly outgrew that contract, which was an entry-level contract, and has been trying to sign him to a more favorable contract over the last year, including ones that have seven-figure signing bonuses and some pretty major numbers behind them.
Now, an actual copy of an alleged copy of that contract had leaked on social media.
Yes.
And so far, both parties, even though they threatened to leak it in social media posts, have not verified whether or not this is, in fact, Tfue's actual contract that he signed when signing on to FaZe Clan.
Yeah, so that's kind of weird.
Real weird.
In the original lawsuit, Tfue alleged that FaZe was encouraging him to do dangerous stunts and to drink illegally. FaZe's owner, Banks, released some videos that seemed to show the evidence to the contrary, and Tfue quickly amended that part of the lawsuit out. Tfue is demanding to be released from his contract at this point and a contact with FaZe Clan. That's kind of where we're at, because since that happened, everyone's gone into kind of radio silence, which says to me the lawyers have gotten involved.
Yes. Well, it started with a dust up on social media.
Big YouTube response by Banks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Banks and Tfue seemed to go back and forth,
yes,
firing shots at one another. There was a whole big flurry of activity, and then you're right, everyone went on radio silence, which, yeah, you're right, tells me that the lawyers are now involved.
And because when the lawyers get involved, the first thing they say is
shut up.
Yes.
Stop saying things.
Let's go with the presumption that the numbers that have been thrown out there are semi-accurate.
Right.
Okay?
It's all we have to go off.
Right. So 80%, if Tfue gets to keep 80% of his tournament winnings,
right,
and FaZe Clan gets to keep 80%,
50 to 80% of everything else, basically.
Of everything else, what are the main sources of income for an esports athlete? I mean,
so we're talking sponsorship deals?
Yes.
We're talking,
yes,
tournament winnings,
right,
Twitch channel streaming revenue.
Yes.
Those are your primary three, I would
exactly
say.
Exactly. So I think that is a pretty unequal division of how, you know, revenue, or how income would be earned through FaZe Clan and through this contract.
Well, especially considering that, you know, depending on what esport or game you're playing, tournaments may not be run that frequently or may not offer the prize pools that we're talking about. So we're talking about Fortnite in this case right
now.
Sure,
yeah.
Which is, I mean, tip top of where you get when it comes to tournament winnings. But if you're not winning tournaments, then that means you're only keeping a fraction of what you're making even from your everyday money, your streaming and your sponsorships.
But at the same time, let's talk about the Fortnite scene, because it has been nothing if not disorganized, frustrating for the pros.
Yeah.
It has been
inconsistent,
shown to allow cheaters to be able to flourish and prosper. So there are significant problems there in order for someone to be able to compete on a fair level.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
So my heart kind of goes out to Tfue on that one.
Yep.
Because, you know, if your organization is keeping 80% of the main portions of things that drive revenue, mm-hmm. and you're left now, really 80% of the winnings is now just a performance incentive.
Yeah, that's your incentive to do well in the tournament.
Is this a fair contract? On its face, I don't think that this is very fair.
Well, and I think that they kind of acknowledge that, like, this was an entry level deal signed before he had blown up and gotten really
big. That's an entry level contract. Let's say a situation like Tfue happens and somebody gets extremely popular extremely quickly, or even if they had a small but very generous community,
sure,
they could be making a lot of money on Twitch and getting sponsorship deals. And now you're only relegated to, in order to have your own money, to win at tournaments in a scene that has not been consistent.
Well, I think there's a lot to that, though. Also, when you look at someone at a group like FaZe Clan, if you look at Tfue's, you know, his growth on Twitch, his numbers after he joined FaZe Clan is when he really began to skyrocket.
Do you think that's because he joined FaZe Clan, though?
I think part of it is the visibility you get having a big name behind you like that. I think that's a piece of it.
I don't think that would be, you know, ridiculous to say at all. However, then once that happens, it needs to be quickly reassessed how much value Tfue or whomever has to FaZe Clan or any esports organization in that sense.
Well, allegedly too, when it comes to the Twitch winnings, he actually they only collected allegedly up to 20% off of the the Twitch earnings as well.
Yes,
which there was a statement that came out at some point that to date FaZe Clan has only collected $60,000 through their partnership with Tfue.
And that's total, yeah.
Total.
They've only collected, supposedly, basically what Banks said about that, whether or not this is the case or not, is that he recognized that this contract, Tfue outgrew it almost immediately when he started, you know, blowing up and getting big. And so they haven't been collecting on it in good faith while they try to negotiate a new, more fitting deal for them.
Well, it doesn't sound like they've been negotiating in good faith, because if they had, what incentive does Tfue have to blow the whistle on something like this? And I think that this actually starts to scratch at a much deeper issue here in esports. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on Fox Sports 1350 AM in Riverside, San Bernardino, as well as the Mighty 1090 in San Diego. We're currently talking about the entire dust up between Tfue and FaZe Clan and what this means for, you know, esports as a whole. And I think, you know, Norris, you hit on something very important when you said, even as an entry level contract, this is predatory. And I think that it should send up some serious red flags to say, even as an entry level performer, you know, you should probably be entitled to more of your tangible assets and be able to market and monetize off of your tangible assets more than the potential to perform.
Exactly. What I would call, quote unquote, everyday money. Click on Twitch, you get 3,000 people to come in. That's your everyday audience, your everyday money. That money is, quote unquote, guaranteed.
And I think, listen, sponsorship, that's fair, because I think an organization plays a big role in brokering sponsorships, especially bigger sponsorships, you know, your Logitech, your Red Bulls, those sorts of things.
Yes.
That's where an organization is going to be key, because that brings some legitimacy to the bargaining table. But I think it is a bit predatory and a bit of an overreach to say, well, we're now responsible for your Twitch revenue as well. That's cult of personality. That's, you know, your ability to be able to entertain people on an ongoing basis. I don't know that that's as fair for them to take as much as 80% of that. That seems very predatory to me.
And doesn't that really kind of speak to needing to understand not only what your current value is, but what your potential value is? There's too many people out there, I feel like, who, I mean, and we understand this, we went through this. You have the opportunity to now make a living as a professional gamer. You have an opportunity to make that living, and even if the contract isn't perfect, it's better than working retail or whatever job you're doing. So you're kind of more willing to take it. And that's where you open yourself up to these kind of predatory measures. It is 100% okay. It is not a jerk move at all to say, you know what, I'd like to have an agent or a lawyer at the negotiating table. There's someone who understands what my value is. We and especially this, you know, upcoming generation, we're kind of afraid to offend people. You know what I mean? There's that kind of, especially in Gen Z sort of mindset. Don't worry about offending people. Get your lawyer. Do what's right by you. It happens in professional sports every day.
And I'll put it this way. If you're good enough to get recognized by a big team, if a team wants to, you know, pull their contract out from under you because you want to get a lawyer or legal advice, that's not the team for you.
That's a red flag.
That you want to be. And I guarantee you, if you're good enough, there's another team that will be much, much more willing to play ball with you.
But if you're young and you're vulnerable and you're susceptible to influence, you know, that has a way of wearing rose-tinted glasses. Like it puts,
and the lifestyle, too.
It's so attractive.
Face Clan.
Absolutely.
These are also lifestyle brands.
But listen,
man,
there is a great quote from BoJack Horseman that say, listen, when you're wearing rose-tinted glasses, all the red flags just tend to look like flags.
Wow.
And you really, like, I think take some of that to heart, because you need, like, when you're on your come up and you're really, like, all those endorphins and you've got people who are telling you you're the best, you're going to be the next ninja.
You're going to be huge.
You've got to look at that with a very rational sensibility and a very rational eye and know to do what's best for you. But listen, we want to hear from you. What do you make of the entire Tfue FaZe Clan situation? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll welcome in Voice of the People, Sarah Skopic, to share your responses to this week's social media question. This week, we ask you what announcements you're hoping to hear made out at E3 2019. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, it's time for us to preview the next month in gaming. While June isn't going to bring us a ton of new releases, it will mark the arrival of E3. We'll preview that ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the sports beat of East Texas, 104.3 in Carthage, 103.9 in Marshall, and 100.7 in Henderson, as well as 1250 and 94.5 ESPN San Antonio. Check out our website over at CheckpointXP.com, and while you're there, make sure you sign up for the Checkpoint XP Nation newsletter. Get behind-the-scenes insight, photos, and access to contests and unique content. All it takes is an email address and a zip code. So sign up today at CheckpointXP.com. At the end of every month, we like to take a look ahead to the next month in gaming. June is always kind of an interesting month because there aren't very many new game releases that end up coming out. However, it does play host to the biggest gaming show of the year in E3. We'll get to that in just a moment. But first, here's a list of what's coming out in June.
All right, so June 4th is going to kick off with Warhammer Chaos Bane for PC, PS4, and Xbox. It's a Diablo-esque hack-and-slash adventure title using the Warhammer IP. Actually, I think it looks pretty sweet.
The Warhammer games always do like have at least something that I look at. I'm like, I could really get into that, but there's just
there's not enough to put me over the top.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Well, if you played like the Warhammer tabletop game, I could see how you'd see that and be like, absolutely, maybe. I'm in. And this one more like, because the other ones are usually like real-time strategy games or turn-based strategy games, which I'm fine with. But this one kind of being more Diablo-esque, I look at that and go, This is pretty sweet.
I actually may end up checking that out because I don't have any patience for real-time strategy. I just don't.
That's
I never
fair.
Have. Never have. But a hack and slash sort of like adventure, like loot,
Diablo.
Yeah.
I'm
all for it.
June 7th, we got Octopath Traveler making its way to PC.
Okay.
This is not the first or the only re-release coming out this month either, by the way.
I've
But not everyone owns a Switch.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
And in Octopath Traveler, we identified, is a fantastic game.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got one of those NVIDIA Shields, I feel like this is a perfect game for that.
Totally.
June 21st, we will see Crash Team Racing Nitro Fuel making its way to PS4, Xbox, and Switch.
The poor man's Mario
Kart.
That's
what I'm saying. That's what it is. That's what it is, okay?
I don't even know if I'd call it the poor man's. It's just...
Yeah, because isn't that Diddy Kong Racing?
Well, it's like... I mean, would you even call Diddy Kong Racing
Hold
a poor
on.
Man's version?
Hold on.
I would.
Diddy Kong Racing is only a tier below Mario Kart.
I wouldn't even say that. I think they're all almost the same game with different skins. Which IP did you grow up with? Mario, Diddy Kong, or Crash?
How many Crash Team Racings have there been? Oh, one?
Well, it was one Diddy Kong Racing, too. I mean,
that's because Mario Kart is king.
Sure.
Kind of hard to argue with that.
I guess. June 24th, we got Heavy Rain making its way to PC.
Yes, get ready for the gifts, Joe.
Oh,
you know it.
I can't wait.
Why?
Isn't this game a decade old?
Yes. And by the way, when they ported it to the PS4,
didn't work.
I'm just gonna re-gift this to them on Steam like every 4 months.
How is it not already on PC?
That is kind of shocking.
Yeah.
June 25th, we've got Judgment coming out for PS4. It's an action adventure title. It's like a spinoff of the Yakuza series. It was released in Japan. In December.
See, I want to sit down with the whole just Yakuza series, at least the ones from like PS3 up.
Yeah.
I've always heard
I hear they're great.
Yeah, I've always heard really good things about them, but I've never actually had the time to sit down.
Yeah.
It's like
GTA in Japan, apparently.
Yeah. See, the thing, I made the dumb choice and went with Mafia instead of Yakuza because they came out around the same time.
They did.
Wrong choice for Nathan.
Yeah.
June 28th, we got Super Mario Maker coming to the Switch.
Okay. That's a great release.
I am so excited
great
about
release.
This.
Man,
cannot wait.
There is no game that I wanted to play more than that I couldn't play than Mario Maker.
On the Wii U?
On the Wii U.
Exactly.
Like, as much as like Bayonetta 2 was kind of that game for me, I'm like, why is this on Wii U? It was Mario Maker. We're like, this game's supposed to be great and I can't play it.
100%.
I don't have an exact date for you, but in June, we're also getting Samurai Showdown North.
It's happening!
Yeah, are you excited for Samurai Showdown?
I'm over the moon, okay? It's slow. It's got a strong neutral. You can hit people 3 times and they die. That's all I care about. I can't wait.
Did you get hands-on with this out of PAX?
I did.
You did?
I did.
How are you feeling about it?
It's great.
Okay.
Oh, it's slow and plodding and heavy and wonderful.
And you like it, just to confirm for the listeners. Okay, just making sure. Last but not least, we got Phoenix Point actually got delayed. That was originally scheduled to release in June. That's been pushed back to September 2019. And guys, that is it for your June release slate.
Woof.
I mean, it's always a light month in June. And I mean, that's with like 3 new things added on in the last couple like weeks.
Which, to be honest, I was concerned about Sam's show because I'm like, really? A late June release?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
You're listening to Checkpoint XP, Esports, and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening out in Colorado on ESPN Denver 1600, 104.3 The Fan, as well as Extra Sports 1300 in Colorado Springs. We're currently going over the new... We just finished going over the new releases for June. Let's take a look at what we can expect to be released, or not released, but to be unveiled, presented out at E3.
Yeah, so I mean, there's some things to keep an eye on, and that's kind of what I want to go over with this, is the Microsoft press conference. The moment that they announced the partnership with Sony, this went from ho-hum, okay, it's Microsoft, to must see.
Yeah, I'm going to be so curious to see whether or not Microsoft actually talks about what their strategy with Sony is going to be. You know, we talked about this great moment that happened at the Video Game Awards in 2019, where you had the head of all three of the big three console companies on stage together. Will we get another one of those moments to see, you know, the head of Microsoft and Sony on stage together talking about what the future of gaming is going to be? I don't don't know, but I got to find out.
But you have to watch. Exactly. We also have to pay some attention to the Bethesda presser in addition to Wolfenstein, Youngblood, and Doom Eternal. We should find out more about the future of Elder Scrolls Online and Fallout 76. And see, lots of questions there.
Bethesda seems to do every other year.
Yes.
They have a year of kind of stinking and a year where they knock it out of the park.
We'll get Elder Scrolls 6 next year.
Yeah.
I have a feeling, Elder Scrolls 6 will be next year. I'm hoping that we get something outside of Fallout 76 for Fallout. I'd love to see a Switch release. Come on, Bethesda.
Yes,
don't let me down. Interesting to note about Fallout 76, their first piece of DLC, Wild Appalachia, just wrapped up. So we might actually get to hear about their next piece of DLC, which is called Nuclear Winter. So going to be very interested to see what happens at the Bethesda presser.
So in years past, guys, at least for me, the PC gaming show can be a bit of a snooze.
Last year was actually pretty decent.
So it was okay, but for me, it's always
a
little
been getting better.
That said, this year, with the, let's call it what is, the turf war between Epic and Steam.
The launcher wars.
Dude, I'm telling you, PC Gaming Show is appointment viewing this year.
I think so.
You have to see it.
It's interesting because in years previous, you know, everything was a foregone conclusion. Oh, it's coming to Steam. It's coming to Steam.
Well, it was a lot of hardware stuff, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be interested to see, what kind of plays, what kind of cheers and boos are going to be out there for, like, if it's an Epic exclusive.
I know.
It'd be real interesting.
If your game is an Epic exclusive, do you have the cojones to announce it as such on stage?
Epic.
So Nintendo, I mean, we would have thought Pokemon until
we just got all of the Pokemon announcements.
We just got a bunch, and now we're getting the Direct with Pokemon next week for Sword and Shield. I don't know what
Smash.
We're going to get from
I have no idea.
Smash
maybe.
Animal Crossing.
And lastly, we got to hit Square Enix after what seems like an eternity. We're going to probably get the release date of Episode 1 of FF7 Remake.
And also, they've been hyping it up, so
Marvel, The Avengers, we're getting a full reveal.
Really?
Yes,
they did announce that.
From Crystal Dynamics.
They did announce that. So,
is it wrong for me to be kind of interested in that?
No, because it's Crystal Dynamics
it's
that's
Crystal
making
Dynamics.
It.
They've done consistently good work.
Okay,
Square
I'm
Enix,
excited.
Not so much, but Crystal Dynamics is always good. Listen, we want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily on this week's social media question, we ask you what E3 announcement you're hoping to hear about this year. We'll welcome in Voice of the People, Sarah Skobic, to read your answers, and we'll give you some of our own. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Fanatic in Philadelphia, as well as everyone listening on ESPN Pittsburgh. Make sure you visit our website over at CheckpointXP.com so that you can subscribe to the Checkpoint XP Daily podcast from B-Pod Studios. Get all the same discussions and interviews featured on this very radio show as a daily podcast. Subscribe at our website, CheckpointXP.com, or at BPodStudios.com. The place to be for podcast discovery. You can also follow us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram so that you can respond to our weekly social media question. This week we ask what announcement you're hoping to hear out at E3 this year, which, I mean, E3 is just barreling down on us. It's going to be in just a few weeks, and I feel like all of the games that I've wanted to hear about,
you've already kind of heard about your stuff.
Yes, I've gotten
lucked out.
Announcements for them, like Pokemon. We got a big treehouse for
Death Stranding.
Death Stranding
stuff looks wild.
The only thing that I don't have that has kind of gone on radio silence has been everything out of Bethesda. So I'm looking at the Bethesda showcase really as something to get excited about.
For me, it's one that we also haven't heard from since a little bit after E3, and that's Cyberpunk. We haven't heard
out of Cyberpunk. You're right.
They did say that they would be out there.
They'd be there, but it won't be hands-on.
Yeah, wait a minute. Like, yeah, we've heard almost nothing out of them.
We got that really long, like, 20-30 minute demo.
From a while ago.
The gameplay demo, the one that they actually did show out at E3 last year. But since then, we've heard nothing, essentially.
CD Projekt Red is a kind of small company. We know that it takes actually a lot of money, a lot of overhead to be able to put booth space out there.
Sponsored by the, Polish government.
That's exactly what I'm thinking. They may not be demoing Cyberpunk because they may not have the budget to have stations for people to demo it at. So we might get a release date.
I think we will.
I hope
we
might.
We might get a release date.
Man, I'd say what? If we get a release date on the new Pokemon, Death Stranding, and Cyberpunk, what a year for games.
I mean, I'm a shut-in. I'm a recluse for the fall. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'm a recluse.
Yeah, I'm taking kind of both of your answers because you're right. Nate, I was trying to think of, what's something that could come out of left field that, I really want in... Nothing really came
out. Final Fantasy VIII Remake.
Just a spite, Joe.
You know that's not going to happen. They can't find the disc.
So Norris, since you picked a release date for Cyberpunk, what I'd like is a release date for Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Oh, okay.
I'm aware.
Dude, Ubisoft has not said anything since their big announcement last year. So, yeah, I would love to get a nice update about Beyond Good and Evil.
I feel like my answer to this question hasn't changed in 3 years. I feel like I ask for it every year and I never get it. I don't even know if anyone's even possibly working on it, but I want a new BioShock game. I really would love that shock announcement out of nowhere.
Didn't we hear that there's
rumors of that someone's working on BioShock every 3 months like clockwork that are never substantiated and never end up meaning anything?
Oh, man.
I know.
Don't get your hopes up.
That's kind of it, but I'm like, the world right now is ready for a new BioShock game. Like, it's how long has it been since Infinite and the DLC for that?
Oh, man.
A while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a long time.
Come on, guys. Get on it.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on KNBR 1050 in San Francisco and the Big 920 in Milwaukee. We're currently going through our social media question. This week, we ask you guys, what announcement at E3 are you most excited to hear about? We'll get to your responses here in just a second, but we got to throw it over to Voice of the People, Sarah Skopic. What are you most interested to hear about this year at E3?
Well, for me, actually, Cyberpunk was definitely my top thought, but I'm going to go with the fantasy answer that will never happen, and that's just knowing that BioWare is alive still.
See, I would have loved to have said a Mass Effect, but it ain't happening.
It's not happening. You know what? I'm not even asking for that. I just want just some remnant of them still, have their hearts beating.
But maybe Dragon Age?
No, because you know what? It's going to be made similar to what they did with Anthem, live as a service.
Well, that's what I mean, though. I mean, that's something we could potentially hear about from them.
That is true.
I'm not saying it's a good thing or not. Anthem is actually an interesting one, given that their social media has not posted in over a month.
Oh, no. They just updated the game for the first time.
Did they?
Didn't do much to it, but yeah, for the first time in over a month, they finally broke their site.
They'll be out at EA Play.
I don't think Anthem will. It wasn't on the schedule.
It wasn't?
No.
Oh, I stand corrected then.
Real interesting to see what's at that EA Play. All right, let's take a look at some of the responses that were pouring in over social media.
Over on Facebook, we have Kyle that says, I know we've gotten a lot already, but anything else on Borderlands 3 would be great.
That's a possibility.
Okay. Yeah,
I could see some more Borderlands stuff. I don't think there'll be a big presentation about it, but hearing more is certainly
possible. I think we got our big presentation.
They might have hands-on, though.
Hands-on.
Play it a little bit.
That's possible. Sure.
We have Corey who says, I feel like a sucker for saying it, but Star Wars Fallen Order.
All right. You know what, Corey? I'm going to say this to you. You, Corey, are in fact a sucker.
Yeah.
But don't worry. I'm a sucker too.
Yeah.
Because I really want some more information
and
on Star
Wars
Fallen Order.
And it will be there because allegedly EA is going to be leaning off their show.
It might be the only thing actually worth watching out of that EA play.
And even then.
Man, I don't know. I want more information on it. I would love to see something more.
Very curious.
We will see.
Over on Twitter, we have Cast who says, I could really use a new Grand Theft Auto right about now.
Oh my, yes.
Cast, the world could use a Grand Theft Auto right about now.
A year after Red Dead?
I am, listen.
The first peek at
just the
title card.
All we need
drop?
Is a title card and a confirmation of the city or cities.
There have already been rumors that they've been hiring for it and that it's further along than you would think.
The rumor that I've heard is that it's going to actually be all three of the major cities.
The three that we've spent time in.
Wow.
I still just want Carson
just
City.
Just make
though.
Carson City.
Thank you. That's all I want. That's all I want in life is to just have a representation of where I grew up in video games. That would be nice.
A GTA representation
specifically. A GTA version. Yeah. Yes.
King Raven says, I would like to hear more about From Software's Norse-themed Souls game.
That's a good
answer.
That's
the one that George R. R. Martin is involved with.
Salting on,
yes, I would very much like to hear about that. Listen, Sekiro was not my kind, you know, my cup of tea.
You hate samurais.
I don't. It's not a period of time that has ever really been that attractive
to
me.
The Sengoku era,
but Norse fits so well.
It's just boring. It's fine. It's fine. It is what it is.
Yeah.
But I am super excited about like a Norse mythology.
I mean,
From Software title.
Norse is always big, huge things.
Yes.
And that is what From Software does so well.
Oh, I know, right?
Over on Instagram, we have Ashton Lawrence 127 who says, hopefully a new Halo.
Is it? But would it really be a new Halo, though? Why? Would it really?
Well, first of all, I'm going to tell you, man, don't worry about it. You're definitely going to get that. You do not have to hold your breath. I guarantee you Microsoft will
be
talking about Halo.
But it's not going to be the same. You know it's not going to be the same without Bungie working on it.
Well, I mean, that's been the case since, what, Halo 3? It's been ages since Bungie's been a part of that.
I know, but none of them have been good. That's my point.
I wouldn't disagree with that. That's fair. They've all been pretty okay.
We have Jorgenor George who says, Metroid Prime 4.
See, now,
yeah,
I remember they gave us a title slate. Yeah, they gave us a title slate last year.
For the Switch.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
We might actually get to hear something about that.
I think we'll hear something about that.
Over on Facebook, we have Steven, who says, Dragon Quest VII Remake for maximum troll power.
Lord.
No, you have to finish one of your remakes before you get to start another one. I don't even want to say that's the rule, because that makes it okay what you're doing, but that's the rule.
That's the rule.
All right, one more.
Over on Twitter, we have Omega who says, I heard rumors Sega was going to announce another Phantasy Star game this year, so here's to hoping.
I would not.
That happens.
I would not hold your breath because that would not be medically advisable, but wow, would that be cool if it happened.
Yeah, that'd be shocking.
Totally.
That would be shocking. All right, well, listen, we're going to have to leave the discussion right there, but make sure you follow us over on social media so that you can make your voice heard on next week's social media question. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as our growing collection of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. I want to thank my crew, lead segment producing by Joe Sloan, producing and booking help from Christine Solis. Big thanks to Sarah Skopik over at the Checkpoint News Desk, and of course my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP Daily, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Abe Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.